Okay, so as Johnny mentioned, today is Label Sunday at Argyle. Make sure you've got a label on. We're very conscious that we've grown rapidly and it's hard to remember each other's names, isn't it? So there's no shame and no embarrassment if you forget somebody's name, okay? We all do. We're all struggling with that. We just hope that wearing a label today, and we'll probably do one next month where I'll test you, not really, just will help us to imprint each other's names into our minds. But what a great need, isn't it, to have labels because of the growth that God's given us. We thank and we praise God for that. As I mentioned, we are thinking about the possibility of another baptism service, maybe on Easter Sunday. A few people have expressed interest in being baptised. Do come and chat to me if you're one of them. And we can think about some baptism classes to get ready. This is not set in stone, it's not definite, but it's a possibility. So do chat to me if you're interested in exploring more about being baptized. Well, we are resuming our series called Fundamentals of the Faith from Acts 2. And today we're thinking about being devoted the apostles' teaching from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I wonder, what are you devoted to? A couple of weeks ago, I was at Sol Joel's skateboard park with Harrison, and he was zipping around on his scooter, and I was attempting a few moves on my longboard and not succeeding very well, and feeling a little bit out of place and embarrassed because they're all kids and teenagers, and I'm in my 40s. But then I spied a man with grey hair. I thought, wow, someone like me, my hair's starting to go grey. So I went over to him and had a chat with him and found out that he was in his 50s. And I'd watched him. He was a very good skateboarder. I was very surprised because you don't normally see good skateboarders in their 50s. Anyway, he told me his story. His nephew dragged him along to a skateboard park and said, go on, have a go on my skateboard. And he thought, I can't, I'm in my late 40s. People in their late 40s, they don't skateboard. But he did, and he found he really enjoyed it. He went straight to a skateboard shop, bought his own skateboard. He lives near the skate park. And since lockdown, he told me, pretty much every day, he goes to the skate park and he practices skateboarding. He works from home. So in his lunch hour, he goes out and he skates. And he skates, and he skates, and he skates. He's devoted to skateboarding, and it shows. The things he was doing, the moves were very, very impressive. Perhaps you know someone like that who's devoted to something. I want you to discuss now, turn to the person next to you. Do you know anyone like that personally who's devoted to something? If not, do you know of any other examples similar to the ones that Johnny shared earlier on about people who are devoted? Chat amongst yourselves for just a couple of moments now. Okay then, I hope you had a good discussion. People like that are fascinating, aren't they? And it can be amazing to see the devotion that some people have, can't it? For example, I read in The Guardian the other day about this man, Shane Healy. He has seen Status Quo, the rock band, perform live 487 times. And one year he saw them 42 times, just in one year. He's clearly devoted to Status Quo, isn't he? Astonishing. And the results of being devoted to something can be amazing, can't they? Being devoted and dedicated and practicing can result in people being able to do things like this. Amazing. If there's any wheelchair users here, I don't advise practicing that at home or something, okay, or in a skate park. Those people are devoted to wheelchair stunts, card throwing, football, rollerblading, etc. And we know that things like that don't just happen, do they? As Johnny said, there's many, many hours of dedication and practice to achieve results like that. But here's the thing. If we're Christians, we should be devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's the message of the Bible. That's what we're going to think about this morning. Christians are to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Those who accepted his message were baptized. That's Peter. He's preached the good news about Jesus. People became Christians. They were baptized. 3,000 were added in one day. Phenomenal growth. Then what did they do? Did they all just go home and think, wow, that was a good experience? No, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Also to fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, which we'll consider in subsequent sermons. But it was the apostles' teaching that they were absolutely devoted to, and that's what we're going to consider today. Now, the verse in the Greek literally says they were continually devoting themselves to something. This Greek word for devotion, proskartereo, is a very strong word. It means to attend constantly to something, to persist, to persevere in something, to continue steadfastly. It means consistently showing strength which prevails in spite of difficulties. It's all about enduring and standing firm. It's that kind of word. That's what devotion means here in this context. So the challenge for us is, are we devoted in that way, in that steadfast, continual way, that day-by-day way, even if it's difficult, to the apostles' teachings? But what exactly are the apostles' teachings? Let's think about that for a second. So Jesus sent his inner circle of 12 disciples. He sent them out to teach the truth about him. Apostle means one who is sent. Jesus sent them to teach about him and his death and resurrection. And what they taught was recorded and preserved and compiled into what we call the Bible, or the New Testament specifically. So for us, the apostles' teaching is the New Testament because it's teaching about Jesus. And actually, it's the Old Testament as well because the Old Testament is all about Jesus. The whole Bible is about him. The Old Testament points towards him. The New Testament is about him and how to live for him and what living for him means. We can say that the Bible's center of gravity is Jesus. He's the subject, he's the author, he's the hero, he's the answer. The Bible's all about him. So therefore, for us, devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching in the 21st century, what that means is that we are devoted to reading the Bible personally, but also, secondly, we're devoted to attending church regularly because it's at church that the Bible is read out publicly and is taught, as we're doing now. So that's what it means for us. It means reading the Bible personally, attending church regularly, because there we learn more about the Bible. The Apostle Paul makes it really, really clear to Timothy, who is like a trainee pastor, that the Bible is to be central to church life. We read it earlier, but here it is again. Timothy was to devote himself to reading out the Bible publicly. Paul wants the church to hear it. He wants it to be proclaimed from the front. Timothy is to preach and teach the Bible to the church. So it's more than just having it read. It's hearing it and then delving into it, exploring it, understanding it. Timothy is gifted to preach and teach the Bible, and he must not neglect the gift that God has given him. He's to be diligent about the Bible, and he is to give himself wholly to reading it, studying it, teaching it, preaching it. Can you see how central the Bible is to church life? And how Paul is making it really, really clear to Timothy. It must stay central in church, Timothy. It must be central in your life so that when it's read out and then taught, people understand it. Why is the Bible so important? Well, it's because of what it is and what it does. The Bible is the word of God. It's God-breathed. Isn't it? Men wrote down what they heard from God. They saw things that Jesus did. The Spirit inspired them. So it's from heaven. It's God's word. And the Bible tells us about itself. And this is why it's so important that we keep it central to church life and also personally in our own lives. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. So the Bible's powerful. It has the capacity to crack open the hardest hearts. And it has the capacity to refine us like gold is refined in a fire. And we need that. I know my heart is often hard. I know that I need a lot of refining. The Bible does that. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the Bible is not like other books. It's described as living and active. It's God's word which is alive. So it doesn't just reach our heads or our intellect. It reaches here into our hearts. It goes deep. It exposes us. It shows us what we're like. It reflects our lives and our flaws back to us. But also it heals us. It remakes us. It mends us. It tells us what God's ways are. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's words are recorded in the Bible. We are more than material beings. We need God's word to fulfill us, to produce growth in us and fruitfulness. That's why it's so important. That's why we should be devoted to it. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I wonder, are you struggling right now with a decision that you have to make? With an issue maybe that your conscience has raised? Are you struggling with a relationship, with a sadness, with doubt? Turn to the Bible and you'll receive light and you'll receive guidance as you walk the path of life. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Bible is God's word and it will outlast the whole world. That's how powerful it is. That's why we need to devote our lives to it, because it won't just disappear. It'll always be there, because God's word will always be there. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Trends and movements and superpowers and worldviews, they come and go, but the Bible stands and will stand forever. It remains this firm foundation. No wonder Christians are to be devoted to the Bible. It's because it's God's word. It's because of all these things that it does and so much more. It's the oxygen which enlivens and energizes and fuels us. It's the petrol in our engine, so to speak, the food that makes us strong. It's the wall that protects us from spiritual attack. A Christian or a church without the Bible is like a body without oxygen, or like a car without fuel, or like a coastal village without sea defences. We need the Bible to function as God wants us to function, to thrive in our Christian life, to survive. Devoting ourselves to the teaching of the Bible results in maturity, resilience, wisdom, closeness to God, transformation and action. That's what it does to us. It has this profound effect. It doesn't just stay in here. It goes in here and then affects us so we spread light and love in the world. I love this description of the Bible. The Bible is like it's God's love letter to humankind. And I think that's a really good description, because it is. The Bible is God telling us, as it were, in a love letter, how much he cares for us, how devoted he is to us, what he wants to do for us in our lives. Loves us so much, he sent Jesus. That's all in the Bible. People who love each other communicate, don't they? Or they should. Imagine a marriage where there's just no communication. Wouldn't be a good marriage. Wouldn't be a healthy marriage. In our relationship with God, there needs to be two-way communication. We need to speak to him. We need to listen to him. And he speaks to us through his word, the Bible. Are you reading God's love letter to you every day? That's what it is. Look forward to hearing from God because he loves you. And I just wanted to talk to you, if you're not a Christian, maybe you're thinking, oh, well, this isn't really relevant to me, this sermon, because I'm not a Christian, so I don't really care about the Bible. I would encourage you to pick up the Bible and to read it yourself and to find out more about this God who loves you. I wonder what your perception of God is in your head. Sometimes we have this perception that comes from experiences, sometimes not very pleasant experiences, or from Hollywood or from Google, but actually we need to actually read the Bible for ourselves to find out what God is like, to discover him. I have some books for you to take, and they're free. They are just Mark's Gospel, these black books here. I'll leave them on the communion table afterwards. All about Jesus, Mark, his gospel, his good news, describing Jesus. Really great thing to read to start off if you've never really read the Bible before. So do help yourself to them. So how can we become devoted or more devoted to the Bible then? Just some things to remember that I hope will cause there to be devotion in our hearts, because we want it to start in our hearts, don't we? We don't want the Bible to be like this kind of duty, but really something that we're devoted to because of, well, let's discover. First of all, we need to remember the Bible is God's voice, okay? So reading the Bible and reading books that accurately explain the Bible and listening to sermons that accurately teach the Bible, that's like hearing God's voice. That's amazing, isn't it? People sometimes ask me, how does God speak? He speaks through his word, the Bible. That's how we hear him. What a privilege. We can pick up a book at any time of the night or day and read, and that's God speaking to us. And he actually speaks because it's living and active and the Spirit is involved. Just remember that. It's such a privilege. May that encourage us to be devoted to it. And let's be alert and receptive. When we're opening the Bible and reading, it's not just, oh yes, I'm doing my duty today because that's what the pastor told me to do. It's, how's God speaking to me? What does he want me to know today? What does he want me to start doing? What does he want me to stop doing? I'm going to see through the pages of the Bible. The Bible is God's voice. Another thing to remember, there are so many helpful apps out there which are really good to encourage us and assist us when we're reading the Bible. Loads of them. I just want to share with you a few of my favourites. If you haven't come across these, I recommend them. A good way to read the Bible. First of all, Lectio 365. I've mentioned this before. A really meditative, devotional way to read the Bible. Just very calm, leaving space to think and ponder. And the app is available in Spanish now. So that's really fantastic. If you speak Spanish, you can get this whole app in Spanish. It's free as a devotion every day. Well, twice a day, actually, morning and evening. You can read it or you can just plug in your headphones and listen to it. Really, really good stuff. This is what I'm doing at the moment, the Bible in 1 year. You read some wisdom literature, the New Testament and the Old Testament each day. And again, you can either read it or you can listen to it. And there's a little explanation of what you've read if you want it. You can have it on an app. You can also have it in an actual book. And there's an express version as well if you haven't got much time. So it just gives you a selection if you are in a rush. Really, really good and helpful app just to get the Bible in your mind. And then YouVersion. This is a fantastic app because it contains loads and loads of different Bible readings. So maybe you're thinking, I'm struggling with worry. There's going to be a tailored Bible reading, 3 or 4 or 5 sessions that really helps you get to grips with what the Bible says about worry. Every day there's a verse, and then there's like a guided meditation and prayer, if you want it, that you can just read, or there's a little video you can watch. Really, really helpful to make the Bible accessible and relevant. The Bible Gateway app or website has the Bible in many different languages, loads of different languages. That's really handy. And if you are more of a visual learner and sometimes you struggle with loads of reading, BibleProject.com has loads of amazing videos that explain the Bible in a very visual way, a helpful way, a kind of often infographic style way. So make use of BibleProject.com. Lots of helpful Bible apps at our fingertips. Make use of them. Next, remember that the Bible is a spring. It's like a spring of water. Imagine you're walking through the desert. It's really, really hot. The sun is blazing down on you. There's nothing but dryness and sand and rock. You haven't got any water with you. As you walk, your mouth gets drier and drier. You can hardly open it anymore. And you're running out of energy. But then, in the middle of the desert, you come across a spring. Loads of fresh, cold water bubbling up. And you bend down and you drink and you're refreshed and you fill up your water bottles and you're ready to take the journey through the desert. That's like life. Walking through life, living life, can sometimes dry us out, can weaken us, because it's so demanding, isn't it? Things beat down on us like the sun. But God's word is like a spring which refreshes us and enlivens us and gives us the strength we need to carry on. If we're parched, we need to go to the Bible. If we're feeling spiritually low or depressed, we need to go to the Bible. And there we find life and refreshment. We listen to his voice, we receive his word, and we find the strength to pick ourselves up and carry on. And then just a word for those of us who are parents, and grandparents as well, but especially parents. Okay, you need to hear God's word every day by reading the Bible, but so do our children. That's really important. Are you reading the Bible with them at an appropriate level, like a children's Bible or something like that? Do you have a family meal time together? Why not read the Bible and pray at the end of the meal? Maybe when you tuck your kids in bed and put them to bed, why not read some of the Bible with them and pray? And just get into a habit of doing that as often as you can. It's an investment in their spiritual future. The stuff that we hear as kids stays in our heads, doesn't it? If our parents are reading the Bible to us, explaining the Bible, stays with us throughout our lives. I remember my parents did that. Such a blessing. I'm so glad they did. If you're a parent, we have a responsibility. It's hard though, isn't it? It's hard because life is busy. It's hard because sometimes it's easier just to eat our meal and watch TV. It's hard because sometimes we haven't got the energy to do it. But do chat to myself or Lizzie, and we can pray for you and help you if you're struggling. And also, what I do, and I've done many times, is gone to the Atrium Bookshop at Greyfriars Church. And they have a really good selection of devotions for children, preschoolers, primary school age, secondary school, teenagers, etc. Family devotions, loads of stuff like that, which is very, very handy to find what you think your kids will relate to best and use that. Okay, that was really about how to be devoted to the Bible personally when we do our own personal Bible readings alone. But I want to kind of shift focus now. How can we be devoted to the Bible in church? Because as we've seen, it's really important that the Bible is central to church and we receive and understand it. It's pride of place here at Argyle because we have a sermon, which is the kind of mostly the longest part of the service where the Bible is explained and applied. But what do you do with the sermon as you listen to it? How do you listen to the Bible reading and the sermon at church every week? Here's some tips. It all starts with the heart. Make sure your heart is prepared, okay? Does your heart say, I want to hear God's voice? I value his words above all other words. That's where our heart should be. That's how we get the most out of the sermon and the Bible reading at church. It starts with a heart attitude. Maybe we need to rethink our priorities or think, wow, if I'm just staying up really, really late on Saturday night, I'm not really very alert when it comes to church on Sunday morning. And my brain isn't taking in the word. So maybe I just need to go to bed earlier on Saturday night. Does it involve things like that so our hearts are better prepared? And then we need to do our best to receive the Bible. I, as your pastor, I do my best to prepare and teach the Bible. I spend hours every week preparing the sermon and trying to make it relevant, easy to understand and applicable. But are you reciprocating? Are you doing your best to receive the sermon? Are you putting in the effort? Because I think it does work both ways. Are you focusing? Are you taking notes? Are you going over the notes in the week? Are you making sure that you're receptive and so on? That's a really good way to receive and be the Bible and be devoted to it. And I want you to be eager and attentive to the Bible in church. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we see the congregational response to preaching. And it's amazing. These Berean Jews, what they did was they listened to the preaching with great eagerness. Okay, that's how they received the message of the Bible taught. Great eagerness. Is that how you listen every week? Now, I'm not saying because I'm such a great preacher, but that's how they approached the word. And they examined it, didn't they, as well, to see if what the preacher said was true. Do you have that kind of attitude? That's a good attitude to have, isn't it? What's God going to say to me today? To come to church, not thinking, oh, boring church is normal, but God is going to speak to us, but also to me. What's he going to say? Am I listening? Am I open to the Spirit as he takes what the preacher says and applies it to my heart? Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 3 says, he, Nehemiah, read it, that's the book of the law, which was their Bible, aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women and others who could understand. And the people listened attentively to the book of the law. They wanted to hear God's voice. That's why they stood for so long. That's why they were so attentive. Do we listen like that to the Bible reading, to the sermon? And another good way to increase our devotion to the Bible on Sundays is to join a life group. Because what the life groups do is they go back over the Bible reading and the sermon that was shared on Sunday. So it kind of helps it to stick in your mind. It helps you get wisdom from other Christians, more mature Christians who are there. It's such a blessing to hear others reflect on what was said and share ideas. It just makes it stick, I suppose you could say, going to a life group. If you're not part of a life group, do chat to me afterwards and I'll point you to one near to you. We have a Cantonese speaking life group here as well, which is a great blessing. Do join that if you need to, if you speak Cantonese. And in that way, we can make sure that we are more attentive to what the Bible says. We're nearly at the end now. One last thing as we finish off. Sometimes in our Christian lives, we struggle to read the Bible. We struggle to read it regularly. We struggle to read it at all. Someone once said that the Bible is one of the most dusty books in the world because it gathers dust on our shelves. And we go through periods like that, don't we? Where the Bible just gathers dust as on our shelf. I think every Christian has times like that. I certainly have in my life. Recently, I've had a time where I've been reading the Bible every day, but it doesn't feel like much is happening, like I'm very engaged with it. I think all of us experience that. What if we're going through something like that right now? Well, just a few things that I hope will help you. If you're in that place where you're not really switched on to reading the Bible, my advice to you is start small. Okay? Just read one verse a day. You can manage that, can't you? Because it takes a few seconds. Before, just aim for that. One verse a day. That's how I do it. Just one verse a day. Set your phone to ping an alert first thing in the morning with a verse from YouVersion or somewhere and read it. and think to yourself, what does it say? What does it mean? How is God speaking to me? Just start small. And then continue little and often. That's the way, little and often. Little. When I used to be into mountain bike riding, I used to go down to our local mountain bike shop and buy various bits and also discuss how to get fit and better at mountain biking. And the guys there always used to say to me, little and often, that's how it is. That's how you get fitter and better at mountain biking. And it's the same with reading the Bible. Just little and often. Keep on, a little bit each day. And it all mounts up. And does you so much good as your brain and your heart receives the word of God each day. Begin your Bible reading with a prayer. Simply pray, Holy Spirit, please speak to me. Don't just kind of plunge in, but just pause and say, please speak to me through your word, Lord God. And trust that he will, because he will. Make sure you get into a habit, because habits are powerful. Okay, so as you know, because I've shared before, I love coffee. Okay, so I've twinned my Bible reading in the morning with coffee. Okay, because as soon as I wake up, almost, it's a bit embarrassing to admit, I'm thinking, oh, coffee, I'm looking forward to coffee. I go downstairs, I switch the coffee machine on. Claire's sister and brother-in-law recently moved to America, and they very generously gave us their fancy coffee maker. Bean to cup, amazing. So we have delicious coffee in our house. So I switch on the machine and a lovely coffee comes out and I go and sit down in the front room and I get out my Bible and read the Bible while I drink my coffee. And it's just become a habit. And it's a good habit because you know what habits are like. You just do them with hardly even thinking about it. Find a place, a space, a time which suits you best. And twin it with coffee or twin it with something you enjoy and read the Bible and get into a habit. And if you can manage to keep that habit up, I think I read somewhere for a month or something, then it really gets ingrained and it should just naturally follow. Use the power of habit. And remember this, the more you put in to reading the Bible, the more you'll get out. It's like a relationship, okay? If you're in a relationship, your marriage relationship, friend relationship, the more you put in, the more you get out. That's right, isn't it? If you never bother speaking to your husband or your wife, your friend, it's probably not going to particularly go very well, the relationship, is it? But if you invest time and you listen and you speak and you have time to chat and you book out a time to go for a walk, etc., then the relationship starts to blossom. And it's like that with reading the Bible. The more effort we put in, the more time we give to it, then the more we get out of it, the more we benefit from it. The more we experience the blessing of reading the Bible. And then I want you to remember this. This is so important. God does not accept you because you read the Bible a lot. Okay? God accepts you if you're a Christian because of Jesus. Because Jesus has taken your sin and given you his righteousness. And on that basis, you're fully and completely accepted. So even if you haven't read the Bible for a while, you're still accepted. Read the Bible from that place, from that platform, from that foundation. Don't read the Bible thinking, oh no, I feel really, really guilty. God probably is really annoyed with me, isn't interested in me because I haven't read the Bible. That's kind of like a place of guilt. Read it from a place of acceptance. He loves you. You're secure in him. From that place of security and love, read what he has to say to you. That's really important. And then, finally, resources. I mentioned these lovely Mark's Gospels, but I have here lots and lots of resources that are free for you to take away and that will help you read the Bible. So, for example, there's this booklet, 5 Studies in 1 Peter, Living in the Real World. Just some studies with information and questions to take you through the first letter of Peter. And there's another one here, the first letter of John, and so on. There's all sorts of different things. There's a magazine all about reading the Bible. There's a book called Essential 100, Your Journey Through the Bible in 100 Bible Readings. They're all free. Make use of them. I'll put them on the communion table after the service. Do have a browse. Do help yourself. Okay. If Christians should be devoted to reading the Bible, then I will, what? What will you do to be devoted to reading the Bible? What will you start doing as a result of what you've heard today? What will you stop doing? And what will you change so that you can become more devoted? Let's have a few minutes of silence now, just to think about those questions. Let's be open to the Spirit. Let's just be digesting what we've heard. And then after a few minutes, I'll pray and then hand back to Johnny and Naomi. Lord God, we thank you for giving us the Bible. We thank you for the 12 disciples who Jesus sent out, who taught about him and their teachings were recorded. And thank you that we still have them. Thank you for how the Old Testament is all about you, Jesus. Help us to be as those brand new Christians were at the start of the church in Acts chapter 2. Help us to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, to your word, Lord God. And we really pray, help us, Holy Spirit, please fill each of us with a new desire to seek you through your word. Holy Spirit, help us get into habits, healthy, beneficial habits, so we read your word regularly, day by day. Thank you for this time together. Please continue to minister to us, Lord God, as we take the Lord's Supper and finish off the service now. In Jesus' name, amen.